It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. We are off and running for this 24th day of January 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live when the domain name is properly registered, which it ain't. And in the meantime, we also live at HeadOn.live, HeadOn.live, via the courtesy and kind offices of Brother Deacon Asa. I presume that we are streaming live, maybe hopefully, to both the White Rose stream and the HeadOn.live stream, and that means that anybody who wants the program can get the program through just about any means that currently exists for getting the program. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and we're at midweek. We are on at hump day. We are downhill to Thursday. And, of course, that has specific meanings here and has for many years. And there are thanks to send out. Do this every evening because this is a part of how we keep the program on the air. Yes, indeed. Thanks go out this evening to Pam. Pam in Washington. Thank you, Pam. And thanks very kindly to Jason out in California. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks also go out to our good friend Joy in far frozen Michigan. I don't know if it's frozen or not, quite honestly, at this point. I don't. But thank you, Joy. And that couldn't have come at a better time because we're trying to get to the point where we're doing fundraising free radio for the remainder of January. It is, as I said, the 24th of January. It is a week to the end of the month, and if we can just finish up, if we can raise, Joy took us down to only having $185 to go, and if we can just raise that $185 this evening, there will be no more fundraising for January. No more pitches, no more requests, no more nothing except saying thank you to the subscribers who fund roughly a quarter of the broadcast month. So thanks to all our subscribers, thanks to everybody who keeps the program on the air. If we can raise $185, we are done. And from here, and then I don't have to start with the fundraising again until February the 1st, which is wonderful. Oh, and by the way, this being, I always want to make sure that we keep up with the latest bullshit advertising hustles in radio. And I was reminded of something that by our buddy Trey in Kentucky Stan. And that's why I wanted to mention to you that, doggone it. In addition to the magnificent dietary supplements available to you only via Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, I wanted to make sure that you knew that there's also something else out there that we're working on. Yes, yes, indeed. That would be a new sponsor here to the program. Your brass is gas. That's right. There's a lot that buy brass now. There's never been a better time to buy brass. And in fact, if you buy brass, the appreciation in brass futures could very well fill up your gas tank. You know, brass is a commodity, and brass is made of metal, and brass is made up of metals that aren't nearly as expensive as gold that the really highfalutin professional radio broadcasters are out there all the time hustling. So we wanted to provide something simpler here at the Horn. And so the folks over in the Horn Futures Department wanted me to tell you about your brass is gas. Yes, yes, just as easy as a few simple clicks away, you can buy brass futures. Mm-hmm. And once you've bought your brass futures, now make sure that you buy them high and sell them low, because that's what all these precious metals scams operate on. Doesn't matter who's pitching the precious metals scam, it's all based on you being a real, live, honest-to-God, no-kidding simpleton. Your brass is gas from the Futures Department at the Horn. And by the time we're done with you, you might actually be able to afford a tank of gas and, well, not much else. So there we go. Just letting you know that there's another way. I'm paying attention, and that we're keeping track and keeping up with the Joneses and whoever's and letters of the alphabet near J. In terms of the hustles that we put out there for you to participate in. Your brass is gas from the Horn Futures Marketing Division. Happy little crowd gathering together here at the beginning of the program over in the Horn chat room. If you want to jump in, just run over to headon.live. Click the chat room link, and you will immediately be transported to a place where you'll be greeted by Anatole and Squeaky and VT Blom, and of course, capably moderated upon his triumphant return to midweek pinch hit utility moderating by all around great guy Steve from Georgistan. So just jot that down. We'll probably be talking more about your brass is gas in future programs. It is 8.5 minutes past the hour. And I should mention to you, though, you know, prayer meeting Wednesday, we like to focus on topics biblical and religious. And I was talking, we were just sitting around you know, chewing on Jimson weed flower seeds and so forth, and me and the hardworking peripatetic periodontic scientists over at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, just sitting around and chewing on the various and sundry things that make us see the walls breathe and get paisley skies and that kind of thing. And I said, you know what we need? We need a biblical-themed nutritional supplement for a prayer meeting Wednesday. And they said, interesting you would mention that, Bob, because we've been working on a fish product. I said, fish? They said, well, yeah, I mean, we've had sex clams and we had anonymous anemones last night. I said, all righty then. Tell me what you got. And they handed me a bottle, and I shook out a few capsules, and I took them, and, oh, I got a little tingle. And not just down my leg like Chris Matthews does. I got a little tingle.
I said, what is that? That's fabulous. And they said, why, Bob, that's fabulous fungible fugu. Fugu? You? You, they said. Fugu you. No, fugu you, said I. Fabulous fungible fugu. Only from the hardworking peripatetic periodontic scientists of Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. You know, of course, that the fugu is deadly. It is but it is also a delicacy in Japan, now available in some restaurants in the United States. Takes great skill to it takes great sushi knife work skill to be able to clean a fugu, because even the tiniest drop of fugu toxin it can kill in an instant. And our hardworking scientists have managed to get hold of some fugu and reduce it to capsule form. Non-toxic, non-poisonous, of course. But as far as I know, we're the only radio program. Well, most of our products are this way, too. We're the only radio program that has a bullshit nutritional supplement made entirely from imaginary fugu fish. Yes, yes, indeed. I've never cared much for fugu, but thanks to fabulous fungible fugu from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, I'm able to get that wonderful fugu tingle without any threat, without any fear whatsoever. It's a rare, rare Asian delicacy, however, fabulous fungible fugu. And as a consequence, it's a little pricey. Still, if you order up a 3-month supply of fabulous fungible fugu from Horn Labs, or from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, we'll send you, if you order that 90-day supply, we will send you a very special packet of special proprietary fugu test strips so that you, once you have been separated from $179.13, plus shipping and handling, of course. The handling is especially pricey because it is, after all, fugu. Well, you'll be able to find out what we know here. That taking fabulous fungible fugu will brighten your day. It'll give you the bold sense of culinary adventure, and all harmlessly. Because, of course, like all the other nutritional supplements offered here by Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, fabulous fungible fugu is, of course, absolutely worthless. It has no nutritional value at all, and in point of fact, we're able to claim that fabulous fungible fugu is free range and cruelty free and gluten free. Okay, free ocean, not free range. Well, they range freely in the ocean, and that it's vegan and gluten free and non toxic. Yes. Why? Because it contains no fugu whatsoever. Our proprietary blend of fabulous fungible fugu has no fugu in it. It isn't even in the same area code. It's never even been, well, on the same planet with fugu, because it is entirely made up. It's a bullshit nutritional supplement, the only difference being that here, down the hall, in the offices, not the laboratories, but in the offices of Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Well, there's no fugu. Just like there's no anything else. Unlike all the other radio programs, we freely tell you right up front that this is an absolute bullshit nutritional supplement. All the others are too. They just won't tell you. So, Get busy. Don't call now. Operators aren't standing by. Get your 3-month supply while they last. A fabulous fungible fugu from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. And start looking at the world and saying, fugu to you too, when your neighbors ask why you're so peppy. Post no bills, use no hooks, this side up, FOBCODFUGU, no really, FU. Fabulous fungible fugu from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Accept no substitutes. Yes. Meanwhile, for today's This Day in Horn History, we're going to dial the Horn 9000 time machine 7 years into antiquity, all the way back to January the 24th, 2011. Ah, I remember it not so well. Bob opens this Moran Monday, warning the Horn Family Community Congregation that he's going to have to whisper the entire program like this. Because the boss, Agnes, doesn't know he's out in the studio doing a program. He says he's stuffed some pillows under the bedrolls and playing back a loop of his snoring in the bedroom in order to fool the boss. This haphazard plan falls apart in a hurry as Agnes walks into the studio. All this due to Bob having been sick for the last 4 days. I look through historical college football schedules for 2011, notes Brother Deacon Asa. There was no evidence of any games being played on those days, leading me to believe that Bob may, in fact, have been sick and not watching football for 4 days in a row. Asa, you silly, silly Canadian, you. There's no football worth watching this time of year. The no-fun league is barely worth watching at all, and by now the playoffs are over, and, well, dadgummit, nothing left but the Super Bowl, and nobody watches the Pro Bowl, and, shoot, even that silly football they play in Canada isn't going on. No, we're off to college basketball now, but there was none of that either. I was really sick. Justice Clarence Slappy Thomas is in hot water for pulling a whopper of a tax evasion. Over the trailing 5 years, Slappy's wife, Virginia, has drawn $700,000 from the Heritage Foundation, while Slappy has reported his spousal income as nil. How long would it take the house helmet wearing oatmeal drooling teabagger Congress they'd have the noose ready yesterday if Ruth Bader Ginsburg's husband was revealed to have drawn a paycheck from the Tides Foundation, Bob observes. In light of the abrupt demise of The Countdown with Keith Olbermann on MSNBC and the lack of will on the left to counter right-wing media dominance, Bob points out the following, quote, at the very foundational level, the right wing understands the necessity of getting its message out far more than our side does or ever will. Because Rupert Murdoch does not care how much money he loses on the Fox News Channel. He simply wants to go on transforming the political landscape until we have a full-blown fascist state in which, as described, fascism arrives wrapped in a flag and carrying a Bible. Parenthetically, Brother Deacon Asa, a Horn historian, notes, it wasn't until 2,188 days later, January 20th, 2017, that Bob's prediction became reality when the petulant potentate Donald J. Trump was installed as president with his tiny hand on the Bible, wearing a cheap sweatshop-made MAGA hat. And that's a brief look at the days of old, all the way back to January 24th, 2011, for This Day in Horn History. You know, Asa, you're making me seem downright prescient. But then again, I reckon I kind of am. Oh, well, I'll have to put the Horn Futures Department on that. Brother Deacon Asa wants to know, is there a Bitcoin investment component to the Horn Futures Department? I'm excited about the boundless opportunities. No, screw Bitcoin. Wait a minute, Brother Deacon Asa. You genius, you! The Horn needs its own bullshit cryptocurrency. Talk about the future. Talk about boundless opportunities. Yes, that's it. We need a Horn bullshit cryptocurrency. Somebody get a woman on that, would you? Oh, man, that's exciting. Yep. And, of course, everybody will want to jump on this because cryptocurrencies are all the in things that the Hepcats are doing, and we may actually crush the entire internet infrastructure with assholes mining Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. Yes, and we're not gonna, we're not gonna do anything like, I'm just brainstorming here. We're not gonna issue like 10,000 crypto coins. We'll issue one. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really, really, really big crypto coin. And instead of having to answer a math question or a puzzle question, no, you're going to have to answer a trivia question based on something out of either the In-Laws or the Big Lebowski. Oh. Sometimes they used to say that Ted Turner would have 1,000 ideas a day, and one of them would be brilliant. The other 999 would be absolute bullshit insanity, but one would be brilliant. I feel like I think I just had one of Ted Turner's other 999 ideas. My God, the possibilities are endless. Maybe that's the stimulation from the fabulous fungible Fugu acting in real time so that you, yes, you, dear friends and members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, can see it at work. I bet you're not dialing even as we speak. My goodness gracious. And you know what? That's reason to live right there at this time of year. Note coming in from Marty. Pitchers and catchers report in 3 weeks. Spring's coming, y'all. Spring's coming. Although I did have a little... I just flashed on... So we're almost at the halfway point of winter. And it's funny, at the halfway point of summer, I'm not sick of summer. I'm sick of winter. I am just sick of it. By the way, we need to start, and I'd appreciate your input. So what are we going to call our cryptocurrency? Horn coin? It's got to be Hornerium. It's got to be really catchy. You guys need to jump in on this, okay? Randy. Oat day oil spay, the usel hay. Randy pointing out all cryptocurrencies will be bullshit once a backdoor is combined with the remaining unpatchable Spectre chip flaw to produce a super worm, which will bring down all the computers in the world. Come to think of it, 90% of all currencies are electronic, so whoops! Don't ruin it, Randy. Dadgummit, you little ray of sunshine, you. Ooh, early suggestions coming in from Anatole. Bone coin. How about brass coin? No. Your brass is gas is too early in its evolutionary process. But no, I'm sick of winter. And I got to thinking earlier today. I don't know why. I was getting dressed this morning to venture out. And it's not even particularly cold. It's just that, and Ferg and I were together, and he observed it almost even as I did. He said, Dad, it's 35 degrees, and it's colder now than when it was 2. I said, you know why that is? And he said, yeah, Dad, the humidity. You don't think a lot about humidity when it's cold and wet, but that's the wet part of the cold part, the humidity of winter. And it just, it got me thinking, oh, Jack in Shreveport with an idea, Beckley Bits. Beckley Bites? With a Y? Oh, I said, no, we're off and running. We've got a real brainstorm session going on here now. But it got to me that because my brain works this way. And again, I'll just mention, you don't want to live in my brain. Actually, Ferg and I, among other things, we were waiting for the arrival of Brother Deacon Gerald, who showed up. He had some, being chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee, Brother Deacon Gerald had some touch-up work that he wanted to do on the plumbing system inside the cathedral. Apparently there was a drip in the fellowship hall kitchen. And no, that's not because I was in the fellowship hall kitchen. Quit it, you people. Damn it. You're mean, you know that? Even when you exist only in my own mind. But it was nasty cold. That's true too. Am I running a little ray of fucking sunshine correspondence course here or something? Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, spring is coming, but if we don't take America back from these white-winged kooks in November and get rid of Donnie Dipshit, nuclear winter's coming too. Vote! And I'm really hard-pressed to disagree. But I got to thinking that, you know, winter is Sisyphean. No, not Sisyphalician. Sisyphean. Sisyphus. Yeah. Oh, the suggestions are rolling in now. Arthur, Bitcadia, Bobnerium, Bitbob, Bitbob. There's something. Bob Bit? No, that's Bobbit. No. Bobbit. No. There'd probably be copyright and trademark infringement, and I can't. We'll get there. We're getting there. Bill in Allentown says, either one's perfect, Bone Coin or Beckley Bites. Oh, that's a good one. Horn Dumbloons. That comes courtesy of Steve on the Gulf Coast. Marty's suggesting Horny Coin, but we might get sued by Stormy Daniels over that one because she's on her Make America Horny Again tour. Coal coin? That take okay. Carbonarium? No, maybe. I wonder if it would be a clean coal coin. I bet the dumbass fiends of coal would buy it. And yeah.
Well, he's already into mining.
But no. Winter is Sisyphean. I've been working on saying Sisyphean all day long. You better appreciate this. Winter is Sisyphean. It is reminiscent of Sisyphus. That poor bastard pushed that rock all the way up that hill through all eternity. He's still pushing, and every time he gets to near the top, the rock just gets away and rolls back down the hill, and he goes, fuck! And, or, as our Australian friends would say, fuck! And trudges back down the hill and starts pushing the rock back up the hill again. Sisyphus. Because that's what this winter just feels like to me this year for some reason or another. It feels like It feels like it's all slope and no summit. It feels like that old song about the bear went over the mountain, you know, to see what he could see, to see what he could see, to see what he could see. The bear went over the mountain, and all that he could see was the other side of the mountain, the other side of the mountain, the other side of the mountain. So I guess I'm just on this 24th day of January 2018 feeling a tad Sisyphean. Hey, let's not encourage cruelty. Bob bites, says Bill in Allentown. But, you know, I wanted you to know that the little old blue-haired ladies there in the fellowship hall of the Cathedral of Common Sense, the little old blue-haired ladies, I could tell they were feeling it, too, because all we got this evening was beans and cornbread. Now, when the little old blue-haired ladies do beans and cornbread, you best not be heard by them saying all we got was, because it's the best damn beans and cornbread you've ever eaten in your life. Hell, it was halfway to jambalaya when you get right down to it. It was sort of a hillbilly jambalaya. It was a big, delicious pot of beans, and they worked up some rice, and they chopped in some kaneka. I mean, it's hard to argue. It's hearty. Stick to your ribs. Warm you up on a cold, wet day. And, of course, the cornbread that went with it. Well, my, oh, my. What am I complaining? Who am I kidding? It was delicious. It didn't have the complexity that. So I can tell that we must be pretty close to the midway point of winter, because there's a, you know, you hit the midpoint and Groundhog Day. That's why Groundhog Day is Groundhog Day. It's halfway through winter. Ooh, that's good. Anatole Horny Poloy. you guys. No, Randy. Randy, stop it. Does Donnie... Oh, but that's good. Wait a minute. We have a new name. Does Donnie Rotten have Sisyphus? Donnie Rotten.
This is the story of Donnie Rotten.
My Neil Young needs work. But we had a good meal, and you know, the dessert was, well, it was a little old blue-haired lady dessert, so it was still freaking fabulous. But it was just some of the strawberries that they'd canned over the summer in syrup, of course, poured out over warm, fresh out of the oven, yellow buttery bundt cake with some home whipped cream on top of it. There wasn't so much as a strawberry seed left, I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, and by the time the deacons were done with it, and having snorfled it up and left the young'uns in a state of abject misery, they trundled their massive bulk up the two flights of stairs and out into the parking lot where they stood there, and I'd say it was a righteous four cigarette chain smoke as they stood there smoking with the sinners. But sure enough, just as Brother Deacon Gerald's truck pulled out of the parking lot, giving the other deacons a baleful glance, I might add. Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door, where she gave a quick wave of the horn solar-powered extra-high-voltage cattle prod, and hearing the very first crackle, the deacons come a-running. Oh, the earth thunders when they run. And they bounded right past Sister Carol Baker, through the vestibule, past that desiccating bowl of buttermints, and took their positions right here in front of the pulpit, where they're waiting my subtle hand signal to move out into the congregation and begin passing those heavy brass... Have I told you about your brass is gas? Yes, I did. Those heavy brass plates among the faithful with the PayPal button in the bottom. Just take it and pass it. And keep an eye scrunched open so you don't catch an offering plate in the head, because those things are heavy. It feels a lot like getting hit by a train in many ways. Take it, press the button, and pass it. Every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sistren. As the melody of the horn offertory hymn plays through. Just help us knock down $185. $185. It's not gonna. It won't get us very far toward the horn Airbus A380. Hell, it wouldn't get us an A320 or an A12 and 3/16. But still. Still, we'll try. $185 we need to raise. It'd be nice to have it raised by the time the hymn is over. But now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I will call the minister of music forward to lead us in the offertory hymn. Brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you, ha, glory, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sister, to prayer meeting Wednesday on ha, the horn. Amen and amen. I am calling upon you to get up out of your seats and on ha, to your feet and squiggle and wobble and waggle and squoosh and screech and scrunch. Out from betwixt the pews, and I want you to come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar. Amen. Praise His holy name. Amen. Glory. And lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense. Ha! Flowing through you from the server on high.
I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Righteous Raja, Multifarious Mufti, Scandalized Spiritualist, Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, brethren and sisters. And we have heroic tales of faith in action even now, even today, in these glorious times of the ascendancy of the holy and righteous and sacred Donald J. Trump. Yes, brethren and sistren. The gifts of the Spirit are upon the land. Last week we met for the first time the firefighter prophet, Mark Taylor. And apparently he hasn't quite worn out his PR budget yet, because see, this is what happens. You get some money, and you hire a PR firm, and you pay them to get you on other people's programs to build up your own hustle. And so it was that he showed up on a program called, no, really, apparently this exists, Weekend Vigilante. A weekend vigilante. Yeah. They only burn crosses in yards on Saturdays and Sundays. The rest of the week, never mind. And that's where he delivered. And I used to think, I thought that once upon a time this is a crime, but remember, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R, or I-O-K-I-Y-A-E, it's okay if you're an evangelical. But the firefighting prophet has done figured out who's getting in the way of the godly greatness of Donald J. Trump. Oh, yeah. We've never heard from the Weekend Vigilante podcast. Let's see how their audio is, shall we?
The Lord gave me, he said, it's called the Evil Crew of 32. And basically, is the Lord saying, woe to these leaders across the nation, including the church right now. God's judgment is literally falling. It's not coming. It's falling right now on these leaders across America and the church, these wicked leaders. And so the Lord is dealing out this righteous judgment, if you will. So it's the Evil Crew of 32. It talks about where the Lord told me, he said, Mark, I want you to go back and figure out how many years these guys served, because two of them were one-term presidents.
Hey, he's talking about ex-presidents, but the Evil Crew of 32 just kind of has a ring to it, doesn't it? He's terrible proud of it. He's already said it twice. If we couldn't fit that into some sort of parody lyric, well, we're just not trying, and, well, right now we're not trying.
And the other three were two-term. So it's a total of 32 years. And 32 in the Bible is usually covenant. And he said that covenant that these guys have had with that entity called Baal is...
Wait, 32 is not even based on the... Wait, three into... Three. No, it's not even based on the number 3 or the number 9. 32 is a covenant. 2 times the 12 tribes of Israel plus 6 tribes for good. They just make shit up, these. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
It's going to collapse, literally collapse. It's going to be broken when these guys go down. So that's what the Lord's showing right now. And this whole New World Order Illuminati that they've been supporting Baal's house through all of this so-called corruption and stuff like that, all that's going to come collapsing down around them, basically. That's what this is going to be a sign for. But those guys, when they went out there for Hurricane Harvey and they attacked the sitting president, they touched God's anointed. Now, look at those we've talked about before on your show who have touched God's anointed and what's happened. And you are going to see these high-level leaders who have been attacking Trump, who are standing in the way of his agenda. You will see them removed from authority, number one. You will.
Ex-presidents don't have any authority there, firefighting prophet you. The only authority they have is that they successfully managed to stay president during their entire elected term.
and didn't get bumped off by any good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalists. Oh, okay. Well, that all makes so much more sense now. Thank you, Randy, for sorting that out. 32 is the fifth power of 2. 2 times 2 times 2 times 2 times 2. What is that called? The McGillicuddy sequence or something? Yeah, right. Yeah. They don't have any authority, but God's going to remove them from the authority they don't have. Because Jesus.
You see them go to prison, number 2. You will see some of these leaders, including church leaders now, be removed from the face of the earth as well.
3 days after we did our show last time when you were talking about the presidents, I had to chuckle because literally 3 days later, George H.W. Bush was responding after this barrage of sexual assault. I mean, the guy's never been accused of that in his life. And then suddenly a bunch of actresses were accusing him of sexual assault. And even recently, like...
No, actresses weren't accusing him of sexual assault. People were talking about the fact that he's an ass grabber, which is not sexual assault, but which he is. And he's a butt grabber, a tweaker of a different sort from an earlier age when tweaking tweaking had an entirely different meaning, if you... Right, yes. All these actresses. It's a rich field that I harvest each and every week. I look forward to Wednesdays. I do, because it's quite possibly the most entertaining day of the week. Because after all, religion is, well, it's never successful unless it's entertaining. But I'm really enjoying this clip. All these actresses accusing George W. Bush. Yes, you were saying, ma'am?
In his wheelchair, some of these Hollywood actresses. Now, of course, we get this whole Hollywood grope fest makes it very hard to... You know, it's like, what are they covering up with all this? I mean, no, they just don't want to talk about the child pedophilia, the blood sacrifices for these Illuminati Luciferians. But what's really disturbing, Mark, when you have just a litany of this stuff bombarding you, this guy's a pervert, this guy's a pervert, then no one's a pervert, are they?
Well, and that's what they're, I think, they're trying to flood the market with a lot of this stuff so that people become numb to it. When the fact of the matter is, I mean, what was the girl he groped in his wheelchair? I think he even admitted he apologized.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know this stuff is true. Look, all this stuff that these guys have been into, Sheila, these five presidents, it's going to be exposed for the entire world to see. And this is what I've been saying with these military tribunals.
Oh, my God, her name's Sheila. She's a good Sheila, right? Eh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, by the way, blood sacrifices by the Illuminati in the basement of the pizza place that doesn't, you know, have a basement. Never let that way and get in the way of a good conspiracy, though, right?
That are coming. You know, one of the gentlemen that was interviewed here a while back on Greg's channel, he even confirmed, he's a high-level CIA guy, confirmed it. Yeah, there's some tribunals coming, all right. And so these tribunals that are coming, it's going to make Nuremberg look like a cakewalk, because when they start really digging into this, the length, the depth, the breadth of this thing, it is going to be so big, people aren't going to be able to wrap their minds around it. So it's like I tell people again and again, strap in, put your seatbelt on, because we're going to be in for this for years to come.
Your seatbelt? Did I get that? Your seatbelt?
Come. This is going to be going on for years. And again, you know, when you have military tribunals, I think they have a whole different set of rules. You know, when there's no appeals or whatever the case may be. I'm not a legal analyst here. But, I mean, I think it's justice is served right then and there. So, I mean, you know, there's not a country on earth that when you commit a treasonous act that in times past, it wasn't followed by a death sentence. Even here in this country, it used to be death by hanging.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what they do to these people, I have no clue, because if they start executing some of these people, there's going to be a whole lot of executions going down.
I couldn't ad lib something that insane. Under the best of circumstances, if you had some of the best ad lib comedians in the world working on this, they couldn't come up with this. God's judgment is literally falling. Wouldn't that mean that there'd have to be like bricks or something with judgment written on them, just dropping out of the sky? It's not coming, it's falling. Well, I guess that means it's a little less sticky. And it's all tax-free. I just keep telling myself. And it's all tax-free. So, former presidents, and I guess some other people too, are going to be executed by military tribunals at some indefinite point in the future that firefighting prophet Mark Taylor doesn't have to give anybody a date for, because that's up to them to sort out. He's just the mouthpiece of the Almighty. What a beautiful racket. It's just magnificent. But that's not all. It's been a while since we've checked in with Kevin Swanson, who apparently is not happy being just a gospel sharp and a religion hustler. No. Kevin Swanson wants to be a movie critic. You may recall years back when Kevin Swanson got all burned up and worked up and just into a full-on snit conniption by the movie Frozen, in which he declared that Elsa was a big old lesbian who was going to turn all the little girls who were out there singing "Let It Go, Let It Go," who was going to turn that it's all just going to turn into big old lesbians too. Big old mean lesbians. Is there any other kind? Right. Well, I mean, yeah, there is another kind. There's the kind that Kevin Swanson fantasizes about watching have sex, but it's just stay out of that corner of Kevin Swanson's mind. It's creepy and it's nasty and right. But he is. He's terribly, terribly upset about film. Now, yesterday, even as the shooting at Marshall County High School in Kentucky was had happened, the story got largely overshadowed by the news of the of this year's Academy Award nominations. Yep, and I might add, it only took 24 plus hours for Dirty Donnie to finally acknowledge that horror that unfolded yesterday in Western Kentucky, not too far north, not terribly far north, about 120 so miles north of Nashville. Yeah. And it only took, it took an hour, and this is really kind of a metric. I woke up this morning and I was paying attention. I wanted to see, and so I was right there at 6 a.m. I was tuned in because I wanted to see how long it would take before the shooting at Marshall County High School would be mentioned on that program that I have a nasty little habit of watching in the mornings, because there's really not much else on, and I don't want to work Barbecue Todd's corner and go over there and check in on the babbling maggots who haven't had their medications yet, calling in to Washington Journal. So that leaves me with, you know, Morning Joe crew. And I timed them. Now, just to recap, two kids were killed, two 15-year-olds, a boy and a girl, were killed yesterday when another 15-year-old opened fire on his classmates at Marshall County High School in Marshall County, Kentucky. 12 others were wounded. A few of them, I think four, critically so, clinging to life. Other people were injured in the stampede, the panic stampede that occurred when the shooting started. And it took 1 hour and 38 minutes into a three-hour program before it was mentioned on Morning Show. 1 hour and 38 minutes. 98 minutes. 8 minutes past the halfway mark. And that held me, okay, maybe it doesn't mean anything, but it meant something to me. It meant that for an hour and 37 minutes, for people who organize that program and lead that program, there were things that were more important than two shattered families in Kentucky who will never see their children again. For an hour and 37 minutes, there were things that were more important than a dozen families wondering what shape their surviving children's lives will now take. For an hour and 37 minutes on that program, there were things that were more important than acknowledging the 10th school shooting in the month of January 2018. For an hour and 37 minutes, there were things that were more important than taking note of the fact that there have been 10 school shootings in 23 days in January 2018. And I watched that hour and 37 minutes. And there wasn't. There wasn't. There was a lot of speculation about what Bob Mueller is working on. And you know what? We do that here too. It's almost an irresistible form of conversational bait. But I didn't do that last night. I led the program last night with the shooting in Kentucky because I don't know who else is or isn't, but I'm not numb to that. I'm stymied by what to say about it, but great God Almighty, the least you can do is acknowledge it. As Willie Loman's wife said in Death of a Salesman, attention must be paid. But not for an hour and 37 minutes this morning on that program. It was more important for an hour and 37 minutes on that program this morning to speculate about what Mueller asked Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III about in his capacity as Attorney General of United States of America. That was more important than two dead children and 12 shot up ones. It was more important to talk about Trump having asked Andrew McCabe who he voted for in the presidential election. That's pretty outrageous. That's extremely outrageous. That is beyond the either zenith or nadir of outrageous conduct by a president. But it's not more important than two little children's lives. Not by any metric that I can get my head around. So yesterday, there were probably more news stories about the Academy Award nominations crossing my news feed than there were about the shooting in Kentucky. And lo and behold, even good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian Kevin Swanson can be diverted from. Well, no, he was still on message. And he's terribly, terribly upset. I mean, this wasn't yesterday. This is the sort of stuff that he's been fulminating about. There's one of the films that nominated for what, Best Picture or whatever. Best Cinematography by a person who only shoots video on days with R's in them. I don't know. But Kevin Swanson is all wrought and worked up about Guillermo del Toro's film, The Shape of Water. And I've not seen the film. I don't know. All I know is the most broad outline of it. It concerns, and this is just me, but I'll bet you it's highly metaphorical. It's about a woman who falls in love with a mysterious sea creature. Being how there aren't any mysterious sea creatures out there. I mean, there's some pretty weird ones, some strange ones, and mysterious to the extent that we don't know everything about them, but not in the sense that not in the way that Guillermo del Toro is working. It's a story, okay? It's not a documentary about a woman who falls in love with a mysterious sea creature, I think is what I'm getting at. Question here, just out of curiosity, do you remember what the lead story was? It was Trumpy speculation. I was actually up a little bit before 6 a.m. and I turned it on, and they do a cold open, and it's just Trump stuff. Well, when else do you want me to watch it, Marty? Marty says, you watch that in the morning? I'd rather watch Kevin Sorbo in Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, which I never do. I wouldn't even begin to know where to look for that. Sometimes I switch over into commercials, or if things are particularly slow, or if Joe and Mika are taking the morning off, they do that a lot of the time, too. I understand. It's hard work. I'll switch over and see what's on at Turner Classic Movies, and the answer to that question is usually a commercial. But anyway, Kevin Swanson is all worked up about The Shape of Water. You know what? Just sit back and enjoy the ride. If you think it might help, and this isn't screaming so much as probably hysterical laughter, Have the hockey puck handy.
And The Shape of Water which is the other movie that got Best Director for Golden Globes celebration this year. And the Shape of Water is the first movie, as far as I know, that was explicit presentation of Leviticus 20, verse 15. And it's hard to even describe what goes on here.
Leviticus 20:15. Okay. Leviticus 20:15, King James Version. Ah, well, of course. Now remember, Leviticus, I believe, if we understand correctly, is a book about rules for the Levites, the priestly class of the children of Israel. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 15. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast, and don't call him surely. I added the last part. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. Do mysterious sea creatures fall under the general category of beasts? Because usually it's in a list form. It's like beasts of the field, birds of the air, and creatures of the water. But if a guy lie with a beast, no, really, bossy, I will respect you in the morning. I thought that's what lie with a beast meant. Oh, well. By the way, because he's much better at math than I am, Steve on the Gulf Coast notes, place your bets. Bob, there's a school shooting every 55 hours so far in 2018. Maybe America will get serious about it when it's one every 24 hours? No? Yeah, me too. And to think, we go on about all the child butchery in movies like Hunger Games. Yeah. Don't lie. Don't lie with a beast. Remember, Leviticus 20:15 doesn't want you to lie with a beast, because the man shall be surely killed. And every tribe back then had someone named Shirley, and you just didn't want to hear Shirley's name called because the man would surely die, and the beast be killed. So Kevin Swanson is calling down some Leviticus 20:15 on Guillermo del Toro.
And the Shape of Water is the first movie, as far as I know, that was explicit presentation of Leviticus 20, verse 15. And it's hard to even describe what goes on here. But, of course, the death penalty crime from Leviticus 20:15 had to do with the absolute lowest, most depraved activity that humans have ever engaged in at all.
Sounds a little excited, doesn't he? Sounds a little kind of yearny, doesn't he? Yearny, get that tramp out of here. Never mind. Can we just take a moment to note that for that culture, it was necessary for God to give them a commandment not to fuck their sheep? See, that's the thing. If you've got a rule against something, these things usually aren't prospective in nature. At some point in time, the tribal elders have come together and said, what are we going to do about Jehoshaphat over there? Well, what's the problem with Jehoshaphat? We caught him having the sexy time with a goat. Have you seen Jehoshaphat? No. I guess we better... See, back then, the popular program was Better Call Shirley. Yeah, I guess we better call Shirley. He will die. Oh, well. So, those ancient children of Israel, at least some of them, had a thing for barnyard animals. Well, they weren't barnyard animals because they hadn't invented barns yet. They just sort of had a thing for wandering. Well, they were some flockers is what they were. I know, Steve in New York pointing out, I think I've said this before, but I have enough just keeping up with daily life. How do these people have time for this crap? Time for it? It's their entire lives. This is what keeps the tax-free the tax-free simoleons rolling in over there at Kevin Swanson's joint. But that's worth pondering. There is no need for a rule against fucking the farm animals if you aren't part of a culture that bucks the farm animals. I'm sure I'll get emails about how I'm making too light of bestiality. Well, I'm not. What I'm making light of is the fact that this stupid fucker can't go to a movie without getting himself all head up and wrought up, fantasizing about some liberal demon she-woman out there. And you know what? It's probably lesbian sex, at least in Kevin Swanson's mind. Don't ruin it for Kev. He enjoys it. So it's probably a lesbian undersea mysterious sea monster relationship too. Wait a minute. We had Leviticus 20:15, and along comes Earther with Leviticus 20:18. And thou shalt not eat shellfish with a woman, for she will say she only wants a little bit of your food, and actually eat half of your order. Just ordereth two dinners while thou is at it, and tippeth thy serving maiden, and don't try the veal. Can't you share? Well, didn't, if you wanted it... And that's not gender specific. That can go the other way too. For the sake of having some sanity about this entire conversation, Robert in Australia notes, Bob, I watched The Shape of Water the other night. It's very good. Well, at least I liked it. But then again, I like different films. So do I. Set in early 1960s America, a homophobic, sexist, racist society, a mute cleaning woman working at a military facility is the only person who can talk to humanoid sea dweller. Hints of creature from the Black Lagoon everywhere. It's one of those films that requires more than one viewing. Oh, goody, I like those a real lot. By the way, thank you, Robert. I had this vision of, you know, little Ariel swimming around with a toothbrush. Steve in New York says he'd like to add the cowbell to Earther's Leviticus 20:18. And you know, there's an image that went viral. Speaking of mysterious sea creatures, I love seahorses. I think they're just elegant and beautiful. And they tend to use the tips of their tails to hang on to things as they sort of bob along in the water. And an image has gone worldwide. It was shot somewhere in the South Pacific of a beautiful, delicate little seahorse using its tail to grasp an old, dirty, used pink Q-tip. And you kind of go, well, that's adorable. Until the rest of your brain kicks in and you go, why is there a Q-tip in the middle of the South Pacific? And then you read up on the photographer who got the shot, and he said, well, actually, the seahorse was maneuvering from one piece of plastic trash in the ocean to another until it finally grabbed hold of the Q-tip. And it's the South Pacific, and God only knows where that Q-tip's from.
You just don't, you don't know where that Q-tip has been.
Well, we know enough. We know it was on dry land. We know it was manufactured on dry land. We know it was distributed on dry land. We know it was sold on dry land. We know it was probably used, God knows how, on dry land. You know, don't put those things in your ears. Stop that. And then it was discarded, and it eventually went through the global waste chain until it found itself floating somewhere in the South Pacific where a beautiful little seahorse grabbed it. You put that thing down. You don't know where it's been. Yeah, Steve in New York pointed out, and it should not be in the fucking ocean. No, it couldn't, and it shouldn't, and I'm pretty sure that, like, you know, Jacques Cousteau's great-grandson didn't put it there, because they're pretty careful about that kind of thing. Meanwhile, note coming in from Kitty in Boston. I'm surprised Swanson, subject line, sheep shagger wannabe Kevin Swanson, I'm surprised Swanson is wasting time losing his shit over Shape of Water when Call Me By Your Name was nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. That one got some Homer sectional action in it. Does he not read Variety for fuck's sake? No, he only reads the Hollywood Babylon Reporter. Wait a minute, but Kitty, you get a cowbell for that. Does he not read Variety? You know, that's an image. If you've ever seen a picture of Kevin Swanson, he looks like one of those guys who spent most of his junior high and high school years with his underwear pulled over his head. You know, from the back, wedgie. I'm not going to look it up on the Urban Dictionary, and I'm not suggesting that anybody in the Horn family community congregation do so either. But Devin does suggest that that Q-tip could have been a beach whistle. Trigger, put that thing down. Yeah. Thank you. But no, Kevin Swanson sitting there in one of those canvas beach chairs with the stripes on it and everything, and linen trousers and a Panama hat and sunglasses, reading Variety. It's a beautiful thing y'all do for me, giving me these lovely little images to play with in my otherwise tormented mind. Meanwhile, going back to the notion that you only have rules against shtupping the animals if you've got a problem with the men shtupping the animals. Scott and Punky with a note, subject line, they had plenty of time, Bob. While the men brought home the bacon, so to speak, the mothers tended the flocks. In addition to having plenty of time, these folks knew about food spoilage preventative measures. They learned to soak their cooking material for hours so it could be used to seal their food, their corking material. They learned to soak their corking material for hours so it could be used to seal their food storage jars. You might even say that what we're looking at here, get ready, are a bunch of cork soakers and mother flockers. He who would pun would pick a purse. That is only the lamest of jingles, Scott, for a pun like that. Cork soakers and mother flockers. Marty, don't kid yourself, I'm laughing. Marty, so this guy Swanson didn't like The Shape of Water. What did he, what did the being have too much mercury in it or absorb too much radiation? It's because it violates Leviticus 20:15, which says clearly that if a person make a movie about a mysterious sea creature having sexy time with a woman, then everybody got to die. What's a movie? Kind of like all those religion industrialists who talk about how about how there's references to the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, you know, in the Bible. Because they just knowed, but they didn't do anything like, you know, representative democracy back then, because the time had not been fulfilled for the prophecy. Flavio with a note, you bet I'm going to watch it, The Shape of Water. I'll watch anything Guillermo del Toro created. I loved Pan's Labyrinth, as did I. Saw it two or three times, each time catching something I missed. Fascists don't like multi-layered works of art. It disconcerts the idiots. Right now, the film is getting an aggregate approval rating of 92% based on 272 reviews at Rotten Tomatoes, with an average rating of 8.4 out of 10. The site's critical consensus reads, The Shape of Water finds Guillermo del Toro at his visually distinctive best and matched by an emotionally absorbing story brought to life by a stellar Sally Hawkins performance. By the way, speaking of Q-tips floating in the ocean, Robert in Australia points out, another one of those films I enjoyed is Garbage Island, 2008. It examines the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, a swirling mass of plastic and other garbage endlessly circling the Pacific Ocean. As documentaries go, I've seen better, but the images of tons of waste floating just below the surface is shocking, to say the least. And absolutely unnecessary. I may have to check that out. Meanwhile, let's get back to Kevin Swanson, who is, worried about a movie because of something that an early Iron Age society, a rule they had to promulgate to try to get their own tribal membership to stop, you know, courting the camels.
And it's only the most depraved people in the world that even want to mention this stuff, let alone sit there and watch it for 2.5 hours on the movie screen. Well, this, my friends, is what has happened to Hollywood. It has pretty much worked its way down into the sewer. And the movie itself was completely centered around cross-species mating. Star Trek dabbled with it a couple of years ago, but this is the first movie, as far as I know, the first major motion picture in which the movie presents the Leviticus 20:15 sinful habit that really has...
How would you know it was a habit there, Kev? It's not a one-off? What, bestiality means never having to say you're sorry, Kevin? In a world where Leviticus 20:15 doesn't matter, one woman communicates with a mysterious undersea lesbian creature.
A part of the most depraved people, the most insane people that have ever lived in the history of mankind. In other words, Steve, you don't go anywhere else. This is the end of culture. This is the end of civilization as we know it.
Well, I mean, okay, it's completely centered around cross-species mating. Well, if you don't do that, how are you going to come up with the
the monkey jellyfish hybrids that glow in the dark for Alex Jones to have conniptions about over on his program.
But Kevin Swanson wants to be a movie critic. And you know, we know this because he keeps reviewing films from a biblical perspective.
The other aspect of this movie, The Last Jedi, the sixth most popular film of all time, that had just come out last month, my friends, is the feminist edge to it. Of course, the biggest feminist film of the year, or the biggest lesbian film of the year, was Wonder Woman. But this now, The Last Jedi, becomes the biggest feminist film, and the feminists are head over heels in love with this one. It's a bit of a feminist fest with very little artistic storytelling involved, as you mentioned.
Really? Very little artistic storytelling? I hated the film, but there was a lot of artistic storytelling to it. But it's a feminist fest? I got a lot out of the movie. Some of it, most of it, I didn't care for. And maybe I'm just not particularly, maybe I didn't bring my secret feminism decoder ring or with me to the movie theater, but I had a real live, honest to goodness, no kidding, sure enough, whoa man sitting right next to me in the movie, and you know, we talked about it a lot on the way out of the theater, and Agnes never said anything about, boy, that sure was a feminist movie. Let me check in here in the next room and scream through the wall for a second. Do you remember The Last Jedi being a feminist movie? I mean, did you come out of the movie feeling all empowered and stuff? Okay, just checking. Thank you. Yeah, okay, no, Agnes definitely didn't get the feminist vibe, but then again, yeah, we're talking about Kevin Swanson here, who's convinced that cartoon characters are lesbians, and well, as we've already heard, that fantastic metaphorical allegorical films are somehow the wishful thinking of, if only we could go back to the days of Leviticus when men were men and sheep were scared.
The reviewers found this thing to be a rather boring storyline that really never went anywhere, but it was a great vehicle to continue to educate the world towards feminism. And that is, feminism is ultimately the individuation of the family, destruction of the family, and the violation of the biblical ordinance that the husband is head of the wife. So that's fundamentally what is being eroded in the minds of our 13 and 14-year-old girls as they watch these movies and these films. My friends, you can thoroughly expect the unraveling of the Christian family in the years to come. If the Christian family is sitting their children at the feet of feminists and they are receiving these messages, Daisy, Carrie, and Laura are the three actresses that are defending the universe from the bad guys in this film. Daisy, Carrie, and Laura. Daisy Ridley is the Jedi. Carrie Fisher is the commander of the entire resistance. And then there's Laura Dern, who apparently has some important...
Oh, we're going to have to wash his mouth out with soap for saying Dern. Because I think there's something in Leviticus about not doing that either. He may have to be taken outside of the city gates and stoned by Shirley. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meanwhile, note coming in via Skype. How do you want me to refer to you, by the way? The feminist vibe for Swanson, translated, means a woman woke up this morning in the year of 2018. Thank you. That's good. Meanwhile, Steve in New York says, urethra, that's it! Feminism's goal is to destroy the family. I know. Yes, I know. Now, the women folk going to ruin the family. Has anybody told Kevin Swanson where babies come from? I'm guessing no.
Leadership position in the resistance as well as Admiral Hulda in the film. Now, these, again, are the three most important figures in the resistance. that's quote unquote the good guys defending the universe from the bad guys. Of course, good and bad. Of course, there is no such thing as that. And
no such thing as bad and good in The Last Jedi. It strikes me that that's really kind of all there is. I mean, granted, the bad guy reminds me a lot of Kevin Swanson. If Kevin Swanson went through a goth Marilyn Manson kind of phase. But, you know, the part about spending his entire junior high and high school years with his underwear pulled up over his head from the back with just the wedgie from hell. Yes, absolutely, the bad guy. Not the big bad guy, the bad guy carrying out all the bad guy stuff. I mean, there was good and evil, and, you know, evil was really stupid and nerdy. Well, thank you. Marty says, Bob, please stop this. I'm at work, and I need to stay sober. At least he wasn't. The night that I reviewed The Last Jedi and didn't give away any spoilers at all, Marty was screaming at me about spoilers. You know, I knew somebody would pick up on the beach whistle mentioned from Devin, and why am I not surprised it was our buddy Jim? Hey, beach whistles make great blowguns against those savages. Yeah, right.
The Star Wars universe, but this is the Hunger Games motif one more time, where you have the 17-year-old girl trying to save the world with her bow and arrow. All right, so again, pure silliness, but the ladies want...
What did he want? Citizen Kane? Well, Citizen Christian, maybe.
To take everybody off to a safe planet somewhere. And there is a guy who's sort of opposed to that agenda in the movie, and evidently he tries to fight off the tyranny. But the women want their agenda and eventually get to the point where they take folks off to a safe planet.
Where they make them all their kinky sex slaves and destroy the family, right? Wait, the family. I can't keep up.
Friends, this...
They have a safe space.
They got to have their safe space,
which gets
yeah.
invaded by the, you know...
So it really doesn't work out as well.
Doesn't work out.
So, friends, this is what the last movies...
Friends?
...produced by a dying civilization looks like.
Now, wait a minute. I thought The Shape of Water was the end of civilization, as we know. Aw, damn it. Well... Rat fart. The dying civilization is why the movies, why I've been feeling ripped off at the movies lately. Son of a gun. I hate it when the civilization dies right out from under me and doesn't refund my ticket price and the popcorn's too goddamn salty. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Speaking of camels. Hey, Bob, several camels were disqualified from the Saudi Arabia. Let's just get that out of the way. Hey, Bob, several camels were disqualified from the Saudi Arabia Camel Beauty Contest, which has prize money in the millions because of some owners cheating by injecting Botox into the camel's lips. Obviously, full lips make a camel more beautiful. Who knew? I desperately want that to be just a big old shaggy camel story, Ron, but I'll bet you it's true. The Saudi Camel Beauty Contest. Surely it does have a pretty mouth. Stop it. Ron adds, did he forget? Because it seems like he forgot the other woman, Mon Mothma. She's been around since A New Hope. No respect. Mm-hmm. Oh, he didn't stay. She shows up fairly late in the game. He'd probably already left in a snit or a huff. And if he didn't leave in a huff, he could wait around and leave in a minute and a huff. Yeah. Meanwhile, Scott and Punky observing Dennis Swanson's a thief. In the space of less than 2 minutes, I heard him rip off another Righty Talk host by using my friend's gimmick at the end of the sentences. The guy has no credibility on any point he makes, focusing in on the made-up stuff in his head while completely ignoring the litany of Trump's moral offenses. He's the living embodiment of the dynamic, seeing the speck in thine brother's eyes while missing the log in your own. What an asshole! Well, it's not like there's any honor among thieves. Okay, just one more, and we'll do the here endeth the lesson part. And by the way, Steve on the Gulf Coast with a trenchant observation. Subject line, ouch! Anyone who spends this much time overanalyzing the feminine agenda in popular movies is also terrified of that second set of teeth all women have and only one set in the mouth. Regards, Steve on the Gulf Coast. What's it like? You know what, that's the punchline too. Oh, okay. All right, so I know who I'm hearing from. All right, good. Well, yeah, they're obsessed. They're obsessed with women, and they're mystified by women. When in point of fact, all you have to... Well, no, this is not that program. Kev, can I call you Kev? If you'll just talk to some women, instead of acting like you're God's emissary to keep them in your place, they'll probably be happy to make the scales fall from your eyes, as it were, and let you and let you in on all the on all the mysteries. And heaven only knows what you might learn and figure out. Subject line coming in from Flavio. So what's your aim tonight? Because if it's to give me a massive migraine, well, mission accomplished. My head hurts something fierce, and it's not from a hangover. No more. Basta. What was it, the cowbell? Was it something I said, Flavio? Usually the worst I'm guilty of is, you know, putting people to sleep. I get notes from people all over the world saying, Bob, I listen to you as I fall asleep. I'm like, well, a lot of people do. That's why we don't recommend listening to this program in the car. Oh, dear God. It is true. And Ron was kind enough to send the link via The Guardian. No indication whatsoever that it's a piece of satire. No. Not in the least. 12 camels disqualified from Saudi beauty contest in Botox row. 12 animals disqualified from country's annual show after receiving injections to improve their pout. This is reported by Matthew Weaver. 12 camels have been disqualified from Saudi Arabia's annual camel beauty contest after receiving botulinum toxin injections to make their pouts look more... His word, not mine, alluring. Saudi authorities have raised the profile of the King Abdulaziz Camel Festival by relocating... by relocating it from the desert to the outskirts of the capital, Riyadh. This year's event has been mired in scandal after the lure of 20 million Saudi rials, that's 3.7 million pounds, in prize money for each category tempted some owners to cheat. Do they cut their heads off when they get caught cheating? What do they do to the camel? The key attributes, stop me if you've heard this. The key attributes in camel beauty are considered to be delicate ears and big nose. But there are strict rules against the use of drugs in the lips or shaved or clipped body parts. Yes, that's right. The Camel Beauty Contest Judging Committee actually sat down there in the serene, high, noble, gracious, majestic kingdom and came up with a set of rules for what constitutes a truly beautiful and, again, the word appears in the article, alluring camel. We're not done. This year, a dozen camels were banned after a vet was caught performing plastic surgery on them. Camels were also given Botox-type injections at his clinic, according to Saudi media. They use Botox for the lips, the nose, the upper lips, the lower lips, and even the jaw. Ali Al-Muzrai, the son of an Emirati camel breeder, told UAE Daily The National, "It makes the head more inflated, so when the camel comes, it's like, oh, look at how big that head is. It has big lips, a big nose." I didn't change a word. It makes the head more inflated, so when the camel comes, it's like, oh, look at how big that head is. It has big lips, a big nose. Now, this is not me being a cultural snob or anything. I mean, any culture has its things that seem bizarre to an outside observer, sure. Oh, God, help me. But improving the aesthetic of what a camel looks like when it comes, No, just sorry, no. I'm surprised they don't make the camels wear fucking beekeeper suits. By the way, just for the sake of the reminder, that's our partners in peace, the Saudis, who are using American weapons to bomb the living bejesus out of innocent civilians down in Yemen. And sitting back at home, and, well, you know, if you've got to be out there in the desert on the maneuvers, and you open up your Saudi royal, majestic, noble, gracious, high, and the footlocker for the royal, majestic, noble, high, gracious Saudi army, well, it's a picture of a big-headed, puffy-lipped, alluring camel. Have I mentioned lately that I'm not particularly fond of the serene, majestic, noble, high, gracious kingdom of Saudi Arabia? I know. It's not the people. It's the kingdom. These are the people who spend their time pondering the aesthetic beauty of what a camel's head looks like when it comes. These are the people who presented the orb to Donald J. Trump when he made Saudi Arabia the first country that he visited on his Middle Eastern tour. And knowing, as we do, that Donnie is a weird bastard, suddenly it all makes just a little more sense, doesn't it? And of course, this gives rise to a Big Lebowski reference. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, oh my God, this gives a whole new meaning to Walter Sobchak's line, "Look at our current situation with that camel fucker in Iraq." Bill in Allentown says, "A camel contest. Did they say anything about making the humps bigger?" No, they're all about the lips. Sure do. Sure hath got a pretty mouth. Surrounded by asterisks, the subject line, "Oh Christ,"
Flavio writes, no camel female genital mutilation? Well, they got to get it. They got to get around to it. Never mind. Oh, Jesus. And finally, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, and we just had a lot of ground to cover. And I'd like to point out that if there had been, well, never, no, you know, I even interrupt the weekly shtick, like prayer meeting Wednesday, when there's something really serious that blows up in the world or happens. I'm almost certain we've probably interrupted a prayer meeting Wednesday for some story of some mass shooting somewhere. So I apologize if I'm missing anything really huge or earth-shaking, but I mean, I've got several devices around me that give me breaking news. One last story, because I don't know about you, but I've gotten kind of fond of the music musings and evangelical stylings of Coach Dave Daubenmeyer. And his Pass the Salt program, and it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Haven't mentioned in a while, and we're an hour and 15 minutes away from the end of the program. Haven't mentioned in a while that we're trying to raise $185 this evening. One at 185, 10 at 1850, 18 and a half people at $10. But the PayPal interface is over at headon.live. It's also at headonradionetwork.com if I can ever get the domain name thing sorted out. I'm sorry. By the time it gets solved, I don't know, some right-wing asshole will, never mind. Dave Daubenmeyer is upset at other evangelical religion industry, good God fearing, upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christians, who aren't nearly as good upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexual Christians as he is. He's very upset, and he's worried about what's becoming of the conservative movement. In fact, it's being ruined. And all the fun is being taken out of it, and all the moral force. Well, just listen to Dave.
Okay, can I say this? Okay, Lord, I will say it. I will say it.
That's his new shtick. We went over this last week. He talks to God, and then God talks back before he looks in the camera and says whatever hateful, rotten, ugly, nasty, and incredibly stupid thing that is about to emanate from his filthy gob.
Right Wing Watch going to pick this one up.
They did.
I love the arguments that Ben Shapiro makes. The young guy. Big man. He was on Breitbart. He's still out there. He's got a show. Man, oh man, he is on it. He is Mr. Conservative. Go, Ben. Go, Ben. Go, Ben. There's only one problem. He denies the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, that may not be a big deal to you.
Well, see, he denies the lordship of Jesus Christ because, well, as old Coach Dave there, who worries about short-haired, big-butted lesbian softball players a lot, his last name's Shapiro. It's not a really particularly noted Irish Catholic name, you know, like Daubenmeyer.
But if I've got some conservative telling me what I ought to believe and he don't believe the truth, he doesn't believe the truth, how can I believe whatever else he says? How about this one? Okay, are you ready? I don't know how I got all. Okay, Lord, I'll finish it, okay?
The Lord has moved stage left now, by the way, in case you're wondering. He's talking to him over to the left. He's not talking to him down under the desk. And this is all falls under the general heading of fake conservative Christian leaders.
I turn on Fox News. I don't. But I turn on Fox News. There's Laura Ingraham. God bless Laura Ingraham. She gives a lot of great advice. She really, really does.
She gives great advice. Did you hear the hesitation? Yeah. God bless her.
And then they'll really get a Serbic, and they'll have Ann Coulter come on in there. And Ann Coulter will be, oh, man, she'll be really out, really, really good, too. And you know what? Neither one of them are married.
Right.
Neither one of them are married. Ann Coulter and Laura Ingram. Listen, I don't know about Laura. I love listening to Laura Ingram. But she has children and no husband. Do you know that? You guys know that? That she has children and no husband? Now,
well, I mean, it's not like Joseph was the father of Jesus. I'm not sure quite what you're complaining about there, Coach Dave. Flood left Omaha, because he's a coach, right? Yeah. Women's what ain't got no husband. You volunteering there, Dave? You wouldn't last a minute in Ann Coulter's house. Just saying.
What kind of conservative would adopt babies into a home with no daddy? Praise God she adopt babies. I'm going to be on Right Wing Watch today. I'm just asking questions. I'm trying to show you how easily this stuff oozes in and we don't even recognize it. We don't even, if Laura, I'm not, Laura, I love you if you're watching right now. Laura, I love you. I love you, Laura.
She's not watching. Give up. Send flowers, okay?
Laura, I do. I love listening to you. But if Laura doesn't understand that a baby deserves a daddy, how's she a leading conservative? Let me throw another one out there.
You know who else wanted babies to have daddies? Hitler.
What's the name of Kelly? What's her name? Trump's girl, Kelly.
Conway.
Kelly, somebody help me.
Kellyanne
Conway. And they constantly are talking about Kellyanne Conway, and she is a brilliant woman and a mother of three or a mother of five and all that kind of stuff. Well, what's she doing in the White House? She's got five kids at home. What's this? See, we've accepted feminism into Christianity.
Yeah, see, when Dave Dobenmeyer and old Kev Swanson are agreeing that it's the feminism that's ruining everything, well, I mean, you kind of got to slow down and say, maybe let's think about that. And then say, no, they're idiots, and keep moving. Wonder why he didn't get after Sarah Hustlebuck Sandbags. What's she doing in the White House? Yeah, but see, he doesn't want to get on the wrong side of former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate, pastor, brother, governor, minister, diabetes bullshit cure salesman Mike Huckabee, because Mike could just the right word for Mike Huckabee, and Dave wouldn't have to be broadcasting in front of a static picture of an empty stadium. He could be screaming at fools filling the seats in a stadium, and that's when it gets good. And that's when you start. That's when you walk out of the office. You turn off the bare burning light bulb that's hanging from a string from the ceiling, and you go and you price the blue Gulfstream fives because you have arrived.
They are melded together. I love Kellyanne Conway.
So do I.
But who's watching her babies?
I'd guess it's probably some underpaid woman from El Salvador, but, you know, that's me. So, as they say over there in the real live, honest to goodness, no kidding, religion industry, here endeth the lesson. Yeah, it is about 7 minutes before the hour, 7 minutes before the third hour of the program. Coach Dave and Kevin Swanson says, Marty, this is what happens when you close the nut houses around the country. This is what happens when the First Amendment gets completely out of hand. And thank you very kindly to Sharon. Thanks, Sharon. Between you and Joy, you've knocked us down to $160 to go to get to the fundraising free portion of the broadcast month. 160 to go. 10 at 16, 16 at 10, 1 at 160, 2 at 80, 4 at 40, 8 at 20, 16 at, no, we did that part, 32 at 5, 64 at 250, 128 at a buck and a quarter. You know, that would, I mean, you know, apps are 99 cents a piece. But anyway, maybe we can reach it in the next hour and 6 minutes. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. Hey, goodness me. I think I've probably pushed him past his ability to tolerate the madness, and so he's going to get it all off of his chest. It's Barbecue Todd in South Carolina. Hey, Todd.
Yo. Bob.
Yeah?
Is it okay if I make disparaging remarks about Sarah Sanders?
Well, okay. I mean, just stay away from the misogynistic stuff.
Well, I mean, what does that really mean?
Well, let's not call her a bitch, at least, you know, for 3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. I think I can acquire that goal.
I like to let the female members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, us guys, we'll take care of the guys and we'll call them dicks, and the women can use whatever words they wish to use to describe the awful women that we talk about, and then in the middle we will criticize them without reference to gender. I think it's workable. Want to try?
I meant to say I can attain that goal. Yeah. Oh, wait. I understand. I mean, I don't use the B word lightly, but I'm just saying, you know, I noticed that she has started to dress a little better, a little bit. But I'm serious. She needs to acquire the pantsuit. She really does. Like some. In other words,
she'd be cast out into the outer darkness if she was to show up in a pantsuit, because that violates Leviticus 20:17, which says, yea, verily, a woman shall not wear the raiment of a man, nor a man the raiment of a woman. Now, back then, they's all wearing dresses anyway, but that means pantsuits is right out, Todd.
You sound like you're halfway serious about that.
Only because I am. Dude. I live in a place where you can tell somebody's particular brand of crazy ass Protestant Christianity. I mean, women wear these women. They have to make their own clothing, and they make nothing but denim skirts that go all the way to their shoe tops. And that's all they ever wear.
And
they got their hair done up to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because their God won't love them if they ever go and get a haircut or get their hair styled in anything other than twisting it around and around and around and around until you know, a piss ant could stand on top of it and look down at LeBron James.
I've seen it, and the kids have to help them. I've seen it. I've been in the yard, and the kids have to help them, like, pile up into a bun if they want to go somewhere. Am I lying?
No, it's not even so much as a bun. It's not a tease. It's a pile. You know, if they let it all down, it hangs. It probably hangs down to the hem of those dresses that brush the floor, and then, and they got biceps. They got biceps like a European female weightlifter from hauling all that hair up on top of their heads every day.
So does that mean are they all like Rapunzel-like?
No.
Okay.
You know what? I'll bet if you thumb through peopleofwalmart.com, you'll see them sooner or later.
But, God!
I'm not talking about your Mennonites and Amish and stuff. That's a whole different look. These are weird ass Pentecostals. I don't know if they're Church of God or Church of God in Prophecy, or Assemblies of God, or Apostolic Holiness. I don't know. But they're one of, and they're one of those fringe groups, and they, well, I mean fringe. Look, all religion is fringe, okay? But they're not Episcopalians nor Roman Catholics, nor even your average garden variety Southern Baptist. Let me holler and see if Agnes knows. Hey, honey.
Oh no.
Do you happen to know what those people are? The boss says they're holiness.
The boss says they're holy. Wait a minute. But that. Oh no! Wait, no, 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 no. You're not joking. No, no, no. I know that. Oh, the holy. Oh yeah. No, they're. Well, God, dog, I feel bad about it. No, I can't. I want. No, I'm not going to say anything bad. I would just say, just stay away. No, I'll say that. I've seen the hole in this church. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's something, isn't it?
It is something. It's something. I mean, it. And understand that everybody, you know, all of these weirdos think all the other weirdos are complete heretics.
But you know, the funniest part is that, like, when you use your suffix, the stand thing, and they don't even if you said it to their face, they wouldn't get the similarity, the analogy. They would not get it. It's like, you're the same. You're just on opposite sides of the spectrum, but you're the same. You know, they wouldn't get it. But, So anyway, and it's funny because the what do you call it? I don't want to say their name, but let's say the store that is based in Arkansas, that's everywhere. All right. I mean, honest to God, I got this sickening feeling that's going to be like in the cold places. That's going to be the company store. The bank is in there. You get your eyeglasses in there. They got the doctor in there to give you shots. You can get shoes. You get food. A phone. What? I mean, are they going to rent rooms upstairs? What's next? A brothel?
Rent rooms out. Nice. Well, they got some nice portable. They got some nice particle board nightstands there down in the home decor aisle. It's just to the left. It's just to the left of Action Alley.
Well, yeah, you go to the superstore. Listen, I'm not going. You know what, though? I'll be honest. I do not. I'm serious. I'm down to like maybe twice, maybe three times a year. I mean, literally. I feel terrible when I go in there, number one. I just can't stand it. But it's the hangout. In these small towns, it's the fucking hangout, especially if you have a superstore, right? But the one good thing is, like, if you're on the road, you can always, like, pull in the parking lot, you can go in the bathroom, wash up, go to sleep, and feel safe, like nobody's going to rob you because you can, like, park under a big light and go to sleep. That's about all I can say about that. I don't feel good about spending my money there at all.
Well, no, and around here, you got to get dressed. A lot of people prefer your Dollar General because you don't have to get dressed up like when you go to Walmart.
Oh, shit. I'm having a heart attack. Call 911.
Everybody, I hurt Todd. I didn't mean to hurt Todd. You gonna be all right, man?
I don't. You know the flu is going around. Like, come on, man. I mean, fun is fun, but don't fuck my shit up like that. You didn't give me any warning. You just, damn, man.
Well, it just happens.
Oh, sorry. Oh my God. Now I'm sweating. Damn, man, it was cold in here, and I got to take off my daggone thing. Oh, my God. Yeah, you were talking about that cold, the cold humidity. Yeah, so that's what's going on. Man, we had fucking like four seasons yesterday. It was like, it started off cold, and it rained, Then this warm front, like fucking the Gulf, come up. It was like 70 degrees. Then it got cold again. Then the wind started blowing. Then it got warm again. The sun came out. Looked like it was spring. It smelled like spring. The bugs were coming out. The dog was getting all crazy. Then it got cold again.
Oh, it's 31 degrees. It's 31 degrees and snowing right now. Now, bear in mind the studio's a toasty 63 because it was, you know, we were in the 30s and stuff earlier today, but it was bearable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get down to 24 tonight, 40 tomorrow is the high. And then lo and behold, Friday and Saturday, the high is 58, 56. Around here, we call this pneumonia weather.
Well,
because sooner or later you're going to get caught out in it improperly dressed, and you're going to freeze and get sick.
It's bad, and you know, I wasn't joking about the flu. I've been in and out of the hospital, not me, but taking folks, making sure people are okay, because the hospitals are all around here full of flu patients. It's not funny.
No, There's a certain brutal irony in the fact that this is probably one of the worst flu seasons we've had in a while, and it's on the 100th anniversary of the misnamed Spanish flu that came as sort of a kick in the teeth at the end of the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was one of those little crossroads of personal history, because my grandmother was all set to marry a young man whose last name was Legg, L-E-G-G. And the flu out...
Wait a minute. His last name wasn't Horn, was it?
No, it was Legg. It was Legg, L-E-G-G.
Oh. A
lot of them around here. I would have wound up being my own cousin. I'm kin to some Legs. But anyway.
I'm sorry.
She didn't marry the young man because he got all dead as a result of the flu pandemic. Mm. And she wound up marrying a promising young businessman on December the 24th, 1920, by the name of Kincaid. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that something?
Hey, that's why we love history. So what are you thinking about with what's going on?
Well, I find it interesting that this is like the 13th wedding anniversary of Donald J. Trump and Melanoma Knaus, and to celebrate it, he took his entire White House staff with him to Davos, Switzerland, you know, on our dime, and left her at home. I think that's kind of. I mean, what an anniversary gift. She has to be grateful.
That's crazy. I didn't know it was their anniversary. And it's 13. Excuse me. Wow. That's funny. Well, I don't know. I have a bad feeling about everything that's going on, because I think it's something so deep. I don't even know if they're going to, I don't know what's going to happen. It's just, it seems like it's so deep, just, you know, on the face of it. If you just connect the dots, it just looks really, really deep.
I understand why they led the way they did with Morning Joe this morning, because this shit's fascinating, and it's just getting weirder by the day.
Yeah, it is. I think a lot of folks have forgotten that early on, you know, it was speculated that Papadopoulos, you know, was mic'd up, you know, tape recording things. And, you know how these folks are, right? They want to pump themselves up, so they want to talk a lot of trash around an underling. As folks often do.
Oh, there's more tapes being made inside the White House right now than at any given Grateful Dead concert of years past.
The Dead tapes. Yeah. But this is going to get... Oh, I know. You know what really pisses me off? And I know if somebody else wants to talk to you, but seriously, this really pisses me off. This whole thing, this whole mantra about, well, remember when this current, I don't even want to say the word, but this current resident of Pennsylvania Avenue in the White House, he kept saying that his residence in New York was being bugged or tapped. And the minute he said that, I was like, well, it probably is. Look who lives there. You know, it's like a big dormitory.
It's speculative, but I can tell you how that came about, at least I imagine it. Because, see, mm-hmm. there were wiretap warrants issued for Trump Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And they were for the money laundering, skeevy, scummy mobsters who lived there.
Exactly.
And somewhere along the way, one of them went to Dirty Donnie and said, "Mr. Trump, did you know that we are being wiretapped in our domestic spaces in Trump Tower? It's very disconcerting to be wiretapped in your... Now I have to move back to Moscow and will have to sell my lovely, lovely apartment in Trump Tower, probably at loss." What? There's wiretapping in Trump Tower? Oh, right. My God. And that's when he begins to fixate on it.
And he probably said, hopefully this won't interfere with our arrangement with the finances. Hopefully. We'll see. You know what I mean?
This lovely tower would be terrible if something happened to it.
But how come they don't say it on the news? Anybody who's ever lived in a high rise, there's a damn truck line in the basement or on the street. I mean, it's not. I mean, come on. They keep letting people go with this nonsense. It's just like, yeah, you know. Once again, we're back to this bullshit. Where why can't you say something positive about the president? Because just because he's a car thief, stop calling him a criminal. You know, because we keep stealing cars. What do you want me to call them? You know.
They're car repurposers, Todd.
Well, you know, you're adept at euphemisms. However, what are you going to tell the people when their messiah... I don't know. See, I'm not convinced anything's going to happen. That's I'm getting a bad feeling that nothing's going to happen. And I'm, and this is what I wanted to tell you. When I was talking to Cletus up the street at the convenience store.
Yeah, I remember Cletus.
Who's old dirt. Right. So last time I saw him, someone was leaving, and they were having a long conversation, and I was just standing there in line. I didn't say anything. It's the South, whatever. I wasn't in an hurry. I let him talk. So... And then they started hush-hushing a little bit as I got closer. And then when the guy left, he was like, "Oh, yeah, you know, that was a colonel over at the base." When I let him talk, and I looked at the guy, and I was like, "Oh, I recognize him because I know that guy." When it was his picture was in the paper when he became the commander at the local base. So anyway, and they were talking about North Korea, and they were jacked up. They were ready to bomb that. That's what I was hearing. But I also got the distinct impression that there's a contingent of the military that is behind Trump. And if something happens, they're going to be behind him. And it's sickening. And I'm telling you, that's the impression I got. I all but heard it. And we got to remember that in the military, a lot of people have left. When that guy got elected, they were like, "Fuck that shit. I'm not serving under this guy." And the people who are in there want to be in there or have to be in there.
They're kind of stuck.
It's very. Yeah. Do you understand the dynamic I'm playing here?
Yes.
And it scared me. I was like, "Oh, I got a really sick feeling."
Well, I mean, look, I mean, all this, the big story that was breaking this morning that kept him from talking about, 14 shot up children, two of them dead in Kentucky stand, was this business about weirdo maggots in the House and Senate, in particularly Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He works in the lumber mills there. No, stop it. My name is Ron Johnson. I come from Wisconsin. I work in the lumber mills there. I walk down the street. All the people I meet, they say, "Hey, what's your name?" And I say, "My name is Ron Johnson. I live in Wisconsin." Never mind. That's one of those little rhymes my mother repeated to me in the cradle that fucking bored into my head like a goddamn Wrath of Khan earworm and just stays there to this day. Ron Johnson says there's a secret society inside the FBI, and they meet at locations outside of FBI headquarters, and they talk about things. Now, last I checked, and it's been a couple of years, just down the street from FBI headquarters is a great little chain. I mean, it's a chain, but it's a nice chain called the Elephant and Castle, and they've got awesome British beers and the most wonderful, fresh, hot, out-of-the-oven pretzels with this beer-based mustard and lots of rock salt on them, and they're yummy. And if I was running a secret cabal out of the FBI, I'd just trot right down to the Elephant and Castle there and order up a pint of bitters and a plate of pretzels and talk about stuff. Now that's where they are.
Why not?
There's a secret Illuminati, Bohemian Grove, Masonic, Shriner cabal,
and BSB is good.
And they meet outside FBI headquarters to plot the downfall of the Trump administration. And that was absolutely. I mean, that had poor Joe and Mika all the way up the tree before the light even went on the camera this morning.
I caught part of that conversation. It's going to get loud for a second.
But what kind of blew my mind, and I saw it referenced in an alternate article earlier, I saw the clip online previously. You know, Bill Maher, who says a lot of stupid shit sometimes. Bill Maher interviewed Michael Wolff, you know, the Fire and Fury guy.
Yes.
And what was particularly the holy shit moment was when he said that Dirty Donnie is having an affair in the White House. And he says you can sort it out by reading between the lines in the book, which of course is a great way to get the people who haven't gone out yet and bought the book to go out and buy the book.
Oh, but, I bet I know who it is.
Well, you want okay?
It's got to be Hope.
No. The odds-on favorite, according to Alternet, the odds-on favorite, and it kind of makes sense when you think about the fact that she's still got a job, given what all went down. The odds-on favorite is Nikki Haley.
What?
You know, she's got that ethnic background, that immigrant background, you know, first generation, whatever. And Trump gets into that kind of thing. We were talking about and remember, she got completely humiliated by a pair of morning zoo crew jocks from Moscow 105.2, Yuri and Yaroslav in the morning. Remember when they called her and impersonated the Polish prime minister? And I did an entire program deconstructing that recording. And she's still got a fucking job?
Yep. Oh, man. You know what? Well, the word on the street is that she does have skills. I'm telling you. You know, she became governor since I've been here. You know, and she was very mediocre at what she did before, and that was the rumor. And it's not a big place. Come on. You know, I'm just saying that was what people were saying. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying it's whatever. I'm just saying that was what people were saying, you know. And, you know, I mean, this is almost like, it almost wasn't rumor, is what I'm trying to say. It was almost not rumor.
You mean an open secret?
Right. You know, right. She's a social, she's a climber, a social climber, you know, social climber. So, well, that's like pushing it for him. I can't see him too much with the ethnic ladies, but that's like, he's like, he got some exotic, you know, I guess. I hate this. That sounds terrible. Okay. Well, you know, isn't that crazy? But, you know, that's what I'm saying. She will do anything. She really has aspirations. Because she was very mediocre at what she did before. And then she just, like, catapulted the governor. And she was terrible. And the flag thing, though, gave her a lot of...
I know, but you're going to need brain bleach after this. Hey, Nikki.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Nikki, you want to come up to the residence for some fried chicken and a Diet Coke, baby? Get a bucket of chicken.
Oh, God. Did you see that Jimmy Kimmel thing where they did the spoof with the porn star and Trump in a room?
No, I missed that.
It's on YouTube. It's hilarious. Oh, my God. And they have Eric in there. And Eric looks like he's the LD type person he is. And I mean, not to disparage LD people, everybody's different. I'm just saying, don't be farting. Yeah, oh, it's hilarious. Oh, it's on Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, it's hilarious. Wow. It's too much. I found this
alternate article kind of fascinating because its premise is things that are in this book that the for-profit media aren't crawling all over.
Mm-hmm.
And there's five or six of them. One of them, if there is a good thing to be said, and there are precious few, if there's a good thing to be said about Hillary Clinton not being president, it's that we don't have to see her chumming around with her dear friend Henry Kissinger. Instead, Henry is being quoted because he's a pal of the Trump administration. You know, he works both sides of the street. But he says there's a Jew versus non-Jews epic struggle for the control of the universe taking place in the White House. And according to Michael Wolff, and this is a quote, in the Trump White House, it is a war between the Jews and the non-Jews. For Trump, giving Israel to Kushner was not only a test, it was a Jewish test. The president was singling him out for being Jewish, rewarding him for being Jewish, saddling him with an impossible hurdle for being Jewish, and two, defaulting to the stereotyping belief in the negotiating powers of Jews. Henry Kissinger says Jared is going to be the new Henry Kissinger, Trump said more than once, rather a combined compliment and slur. That's my bad Henry Kissinger impression. Yeah.
That's scary.
Oh, there's weird stuff in this book. Like Wolf alleges that if it was left up to Donald Trump, and I'm sure this will warm the little Steiniacs' hearts and whatnot, if it was left up to Donald Trump, he would prefer to see the healthcare in America just taken care of by Medicare for all. The pull quote from the Wolf book says, all things considered, he probably preferred the notion of more people having health insurance than fewer people having it. He was even, when push came to shove, rather more for Obamacare than for repealing Obamacare. As well, he had made a set of rash Obama-like promises, going so far as to say that under a forthcoming Trump care plan, and he had to be strongly discouraged from using this kind of rebranding, no one would lose their health insurance and that pre-existing conditions would continue to be covered. In fact, he probably favored government-funded health care more than any other Republican.
Wow. Wait a minute. So since the economy is just gangbusters and it's breaking all kinds of records and no one's worried about money anymore, then why can't it just
except the horn. I mean, we're still trying to finish raising $160, but whatever.
Well, that's kind of my point. We have two economies here. This is some false bullshit. There is no way in hell that this economy is going to keep going the way I'm scared to death. There is no way. There's no way. You can't support a whole country on $10 an hour jobs.
No. Or on two $10. You're hard pressed on two $10 an hour jobs.
Then, like I'm at the hospital today, do you understand that they don't have enough certified people working at the hospital? And I've been there a lot in the past few years. That's mainly why I'm here. But it's gotten worse. And I found out this thing has changed hands twice. So now it's for profit. And it's a sham. And I think people have forgotten a big point of what was going to happen with this administration is that with this change in the Affordable Health Care Act, it could put a lot of rural hospitals out of business. And so that's why you see, I mean, it's good to have doctors care, but it's not a hospital. Like if you have a farm accident or, you're out, I mean, come on, it takes a lot, long time to get to a real hospital with real doctors.
Especially in states like South Carolina, that didn't accept the Medicaid expansion and have consequently seen hospitals close.
That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. They're losing their funding because of that. Exactly. But it's okay because they're like, no, our cronies who are, for profit. Everything is not about that. I mean, money's great. We need money. But there's a limit. And I always like that analogy. And I think you talked about Monopoly the other night. And I said, that's a really easy way to explain, unbridled capitalism just leaves one entity. That's the way this shit works. You can't even fucking argue that point against that, the way I see it. It's always going to end up with one entity. Unbridled capitalism. That's why we have regulations.
That's what its de facto goal is.
Right.
Monopolies are as natural an outgrowth of capitalism as babies are an outcome of sex.
It's going to happen. So that's why you have to have safeguards. That's why, and they depend. Corporations have already structured themselves. Most corporations, unless they're, one of those, newfangled, employee-owned corporations, whatever. But anyway, so they leave it to the courts to sort out. So then, you damage the regulations, and then you put a bunch of conservatives in the courts. Oh, boy. It's trouble.
Nothing but, Todd. But, this is Mueller's team has provided a list of potential topics of things he might like to talk to Trump about. I don't know. Maybe he just goes to Davos and decides he loves it there and stays.
That crossed my mind about 4 hours ago. I was like, wait a minute, because if the heat pick up in the past 12 hours, it just seemed like it really picked up. Oh my God, this heat picked up. I don't know if he's going to show his fucking face. But, I mean, really, I hear other talk show people talk about it, but it's the truth. if that guy is not a knowing Russian agent, he is doing all their bidding. I mean, he's hollowed out our institutions, wrecked the government, riled people up, sowed chaos, and then he can dip out and keep his money and be like, oh well, I'm going to eat my cheapsteak. See ya.
Oh, speaking of cheesesteaks, are y'all stoked about the Eagles?
Oh, Bob, did you see the game?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, to the extent that it was a game. I mean, I've never seen a more inept performance than what Minnesota turned in. I mean, I'm sorry, Vikings fans, but even, I mean, I had Vikings fans writing to me after the game going, you know, God made the Vikings to train the faithful. That was painful.
We demoralized them, and wasn't it? But they had the first run. They were marching down the field. I was nervous. So I was like, okay, these guys came to play. All right, let's see what happens. But that was it. And they even admit it. They lost. Man, I'm telling you, the link is like, you can feel it. If you've ever been there, it's open. It's wide open. It's wide open. The expressway's right there. It's huge. All these people. There's no way you can get around it. But then they had, you could pull it up. I think it was on Washington Post. They showed, you know, in true Philly fashion, they had some dumbass Vikings fans in their Vikings regalia going into the stadium like dumbasses. Fucking gold and purple. Are you fucking serious?
That's the thing. It's a game in Philly, for Christ's sakes. You got to know better.
You gotta know better.
But they're Minnesotans. They're nice people. They've never met people like Philadelphians before. I mean, they don't live. These are people from Minnesota. They don't live in a world where the home crowd throws batteries at its own team.
That's what I'm saying. They will fuck their own people up. You know they're gonna fuck your ass up. For the jump. So this one dude, I'm telling you, was on Washington Post. He took a full, he looked like a fucking Nolan Ryan. He took a full fucking, oh my God, he had a full beard. He pegged this dude right in the shoulder, man. And they were like, oh shit, they're serious. And no cops. You know what the cops did? They fucking ejected the Vikings van. They did some deep south fucking Jim Crow shit. They got rid of the fucking victim. Oh, God, that's not funny. But anyway.
Well, I mean, and the Philly fans were throwing shit at Vikings buses and stuff. I mean, they behaved like I expected Philly fans to behave. But
hey,
I know.
I'm excited. I'm excited. I think this is our year, man. We're going to do this shit because we're in a second string quarterback.
That's what I was about to say. You're going to take a second string quarterback up to Minnesota, square him off against that Patriots D, and you think Todd, man, I didn't. You weren't hitting the pipe before you called or anything, were you?
Hell no.
I love you, man, but I don't give the Eagles a snowball's chance in hell.
Nobody did. But see, that's what I'm saying.
No, I mean 2 weeks from now. I figured they would beat the Vikings. Had home field advantage. They'd played credibly all year long. I figured it would happen. But, I mean, look at what... To me, for the celebratory aspect of it, but it wasn't a game, Todd. That was a rat kill, okay?
I understand that, but that wasn't the only game.
What broke my damn heart was the AFC Championship. I mean, who was calling the plays on first down for the last four series that the Jags had the ball? First down,
I didn't look right there.
First down every series, they sent Leonard Fournette up the middle. What'd they think, they were playing the Steelers?
It didn't look right.
I mean, you're having some success with your passing game, but you're going to wait until you're in a 9-yard hole to pass on. But it looked like the same play, first down, on the last four possessions. Leonard Fournette up the middle, 1 yard, done.
That's because it was the same play. They kept thinking, well, it's going to work this time. It's going to work this time. It's going to work this time. Well, it didn't work. It didn't work.
Ah, but it'll work next time. They won't be waiting for it. Yeah, it's the fourth quarter, guys. And the thing is, they had a chance. They had a chance to beat the Patriots. And all my friends in Massachusetts are going to disown me and hate me and everything, and New England generally. But I'm just tired of seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Me too. Haven't they had enough at some point? And plus, they're fucking cheaters. I hate them motherfuckers, man.
Well, now this is Todd saying this, not me.
Right.
But
they fucking cheat.
You can have a good barroom discussion. I mean, brawl. You can have a good barroom discussion on Deflategate and everything. But the bottom line is, for me, Tom Brady is a goddamn maggot.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm not going to get over that.
Son of a bitch. Fuck him.
And he's also the best quarterback ever to play the game. I got that.
Yeah, but, you know, humility is, damn, come on.
If you're pals with Dirty Donnie, humble is not going to be your calling card. Oh, now this is mean. And people are going to be surprised to hear this coming from Scott and Punky. Maybe this is Chirps the Cat's influence. Tom Brady. Scott types while Punky and Chirps dictate. I would not be bothered in the least if this pompous asshat Tom Brady were to be Joe Theismann in the big game.
Oh, that's rough talk, man.
That's cold.
Scott.
Yeah, I mean, and Scott's usually the little ray of sunshine.
I know what happened to Scott. Scott, did you have any tequila?
I'm sorry, Pats fans, but you probably figured this out by now, but the whole rest of the country hates the Patriots, despises them, loathes them. I mean, we used to kind of enjoy and still do from time to time rooting for the Red Sox because they got a long way to go to catch up with, say, you know, the Yankees. But these fuckers have 6 rings, don't they?
I lost count.
And toward the end of the game, that Amendola dude was just a damn machine.
But then it's the refs.
Hold on. Because I go back to that touchdown that turned out not to be a touchdown with the Steelers back during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
That could have changed everything. But it turned out that if you used an infrared camera on the refs, you'd find out that those striped jerseys were actually, you know, Patriots jerseys. But I try to refrain from complaining about the officiating because seldom does an entire game turn on one play. And if you don't show up and win all 60 minutes, you don't win. What kind of pisses me off is that the Patriots can apparently lose 45 minutes and lose 55 minutes and play 5 and win.
The statistics.
I knew. I looked at the score. You know, there it was. You know, the Jags got 20 on the board, and you know what was it? 7-3 for the Patriots. Whatever. And I'm like, oh fuck, Patriots win. Turn the TV off. It's not worth watching. And that's the thing. I don't know if what's his name over there with the Jaguars understood that, I mean, because those first down up the gut runs just looked like he was trying to kill the clock with 13 minutes left in the game.
Well, see, that's why the
you can't kill the clock with 13 minutes left in the game and the other side's got three timeouts. You can't do that.
There's no time to kill. Like how are you at your position? You don't get that. That's to me for that. I'm sorry.
And see, now we've started the Wayback Machine because Ron and Raleigh said, I still say the best quarterback ever was Johnny Unitas. He played when there was none of that in the grasp bullshit. And you know what? The glory years of Fran Tarkenton, who turned out, of course, to be a right wing asshole, I'm pretty sure. But what a joy he was to watch. Starting out, running around for the Giants, and then eventually the Vikings got him. And of course, you know, Howard Cosell with that one god awful play call on what was it? Remember the halftime highlights? Tarkenton drops back. The rush is on. He evades one tackler, two tacklers, three tacklers. He looks downfield for a receiver. He spots this man, Ahmad Rashad.
Oh, look, that one.
Look at that little monkey run.
Oh, boy.
Ay, ay, ay. Oh, speaking of which. Can I do a segue or what?
You hit the S word.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Gavin McInnes?
He doesn't have to do with the Guinness Book of World Records.
No, McInnes, McInnes, or McInnes. No. He's one of these right wing turds that's a member of a self appointed group that calls themselves the Proud Boys. And
Proud Boys or what?
Well, they're just the Proud Boys. And, you know, they're misogynistic as shit, and they're miserable assholes. By the way, big thanks. Big thanks. Big thanks going out to our buddy Philip over in Maryland. Different Philip. Different Philip, same Maryland. We've now only got 140 to go to finish off fundraising so we can do fundraising-free radio for the remainder of January at 18 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Philip. Brand new. Philip said, thanks for providing meaningful commentary and conversation. Well, thank you, Philip, for jumping in and being part of the sustaining group who keeps this all on the air. It doesn't happen without you. Meanwhile, Marty says, give yourself a cowbell for the good imitation of Howard Cosell. Okay, I'll take that. Meanwhile, Steve on the Gulf Coast says, brains not bucks. America can have all the trained healthcare professionals that it wants so long as the students are willing to go into debt for the education. Don't forget, in America, you're expected to pay $25,000 to $30,000 for an advanced online degree. That's not a real college education, despite the advertising. Indoctrination is the only product with any value in this country. Just ask the foreign students who come here to study. As long as they bring a fat wallet, the quality of their foreign instruction is largely irrelevant when applying for our schools. Steve notes, I would know. I taught quite a few dumbasses in China, after all. Whoa.
That's scary.
So, anyway, there's this group, the Proud Boys, and Gavin McInnes is their leader. He says, of course, I'm not a racist. I'm not alt-right. He hosts a stupid online program. And this past week, he got all upset. Did you see the clip of Cory Booker opening a can of whoop-ass on Kirstjen Nielsen when she said she wasn't sure if there were any white people in Norway?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so Cory Booker got all righteous. Well, this was the response of Proud Boy Gavin McInnes. You might want the, you and everybody else might want the hockey puck.
Hockey puck.
Oh no! Don't give me that.
No, I have.
No, wait! Oh, damn it! Apparently, they filed a complaint, and it had to be pulled down. The clip had to be pulled down. So I'll just have to tell you.
Who filed a complaint? This must be good.
No, these little piss ants. The piss ants did. Among other things, this guy dedicated his MLK Day show to sliming all over, of course, MLK. But the proud boy, Gavin McInnes, didn't care for Senator Booker getting all uppity at Kirstjen Nielsen for not knowing if there were any white people in Norway or what skills Norwegians had simply by virtue of being all white and Norwegian. And so he, wait, what? I don't have, wait, okay. Stephen New York says, wait a sec. Bob, someone wasn't sure if white people were in Norway. Well, yeah, Kirstjen Nielsen.
Yeah.
The Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, you got to see whoever that was.
When she was asked if Norway was full of white people, she said, "You know, Senator, I'm not really sure." So anyway, this guy,
just like going to Dairy Queen, I'm not sure if they have ice cream. I'm not sure.
Baskin Robbins. Well, that's where I go for a lovely pasta Alfredo a la Florentine. So he's got this stupid program, and he really did not like the uppityness of Cory Booker. And any minute now, of course, I'll get an email telling me how ideologically impure Cory Booker is. But nonetheless, I don't like racism when it rears its ugly ass head. And so here's non-racist Gavin McInnes, proud boy. And he said last week, "I just realized something. Cory Booker is kind of like Sambo. He's kind of shucking and jiving for the white man. Cory Booker grew up rich in an all-white suburb." Well, apparently it wasn't all white. I mean, Cory Booker. "He's basically a white guy. His parents were very wealthy executives at IBM. But he wants to be a black dude, so he pretends that he's down with the brothers, and he acts outraged about racism all the time for white people. That gets him votes from whites. Yes, he gets the black vote. Anyone black gets the black vote. Obama was the least black man I've ever seen in my life, and he got all the black vote. But what these guys are really trying to get is white votes, because that's the majority of people in this country. If you're in Japan, you want the Japanese vote." Sambo. Shucking and jiving.
What state is this guy? Wait, what's the name of his show? Is it called the what? The Farm Boys? The Poor Boys? What?
it's a group called the Proud Boys, and the name of his stupid program is Get Off My Lawn.
Oh, okay. Is that a podcast on iTunes?
I imagine it probably is.
I can't go there now. I have to figure out a workaround. I don't want him to get any clicks. That's worse than Jeff Brent. Oh my God.
And so he plays up the race card again and again, and what a disappointment to his parents. They didn't play the race card. They just busted their asses and made tons and tons of money. What does he do? He just gets up there and performs for the white man, pretending to be from the hood.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'll never be able to do a derpy, nerdy white guy like Richard Pryor did, but that's my take on, you know, clueless, nerdy, hateful, right-wing white guy. It's kind of like
he was from Peoria.
It's kind of like I don't know. You see a picture of him. It's kind of like say Wally Cox with a hipster beard.
Well, okay, but I'm just saying that that's disturbing sounding, and if you could see my face, it looks like I just swallowed some alum. You know, it's like I'm all my God, I got screw face.
Pigaro.
I want me to stick right for to do that. Yeah. So, oh my God.
Meanwhile, hey, Brother Deacon Asa is having a conniption. She doesn't know if there are white people in. If she doesn't know if there's white people in Norway, may I remind us all that her last name is fucking Nielsen, N-I-E-L-S-E-N, and she's got that silent J thing going on in her first name, Kirsten. What the
fuck? This is what set me the fuck off. This was within hours, less than one day, when this the asshole in chief. Right, the MILF, the mentally ill fascist, when he was saying, why can't we get people from, like, Norway? You know, like, in other words, like this, like Kirsten. She's smart. She has blonde hair. Kirsten, can you do long division? Yes, sir. Where's my calculator? I mean, in your head. Where's my calculator? You know, that's not even funny. But you know what I mean. Come on. This is, like, hours away. And who and she's like, and I mean literally the time in between the question. So are there any white people? And she paused. It's like, why the fuck? How can you pause on that question? I don't give a fuck what you look like. If you're in a position you are, you know what? I'm so sick of this goddamn.
Well, I mean, consider that she's the secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, and apparently, and apparently has a memory that is worse than Ronald Reagan's at the end of his life. Is there going to be a terrorist attack, Ms. Nielsen? I can't remember, Senator. See, there's
wait. She's not still director. Is she still director of Homeland Security?
Yes.
And she doesn't know demographics? What's the God damn it. That's what the fuck I'm talking about. So we're.
Well, that's probably why we're strip searching Norwegians now.
They may be Muslims.
They had They had those cod lace bombs from the North Sea. You know.
Oh, not but, just rot. No, 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 not just cod. That rotten cod that they serve up there. You know, I was, you know, oddly enough, I was just thinking not 24 hours ago about the surstromming that our buddy Scott sent over here. I'm surprised that like
that
some post.
That shit fucking stinks.
He gave us instructions and we followed it to the letter. This house sits on an acre of ground. We walked it into the back half acre to open it. And we ate it.
Outdoors.
Holy God. And the Norwegians with their lutefisk?
Yep.
Yeah, luta is just Norwegian for lie. It's cured with lie.
Well, they clear your ass out.
Hey,
look,
no, I mean, that's... But the fact that, yeah, I mean, she's probably, she's so clueless that if she's that clueless, she's got the Department of Homeland Security doing security watches on you know, Norwegian Muslims.
All right. So I had two questions.
Ask them both. I'm feeling generous.
You're feeling all right. So number one. Why are we comfortable with this, like, reverse affirmative action where, all right, we're going to go out of our way not to hire different types of people. Not only that, we're going to hire just folks who appear to be, you know, of one culture and who are incompetent and are antithetical to their position. As opposed, you know, that's choice A. Choice B, hire the best person for the job. And let's say choice C is like maybe affirmative action where you might catch a couple of people who maybe they passed on the test because they were in the military or something, which is how civil service works, and law enforcement, which they love. So we're choice A. We're loaded with incompetence. I mean, loaded. Like the scale, the fucking scale. There is no scale. Scale's on strike. What the fuck is up with that? That's question one. Question two. Why is it that my favorite part of the in-laws is the dentist's office?
I'd rather do question two.
Okay.
Because it's some beautifully understated comedy.
That's the shit. It's like a fucking roller coaster, man. That's like when you said
Mrs. Edelman cannot open her mouth.
I'll be right back.
This tooth?
I'm not.
This tooth? This tooth had steak. When I was poor, this tooth had only beans. This tooth once chewed on the second cousin of Sophie Tucker. It's a wonderful tooth, Mr. Hirshhorn, but it's rotten, and it's got to go. Oh, don't worry. While you're out, I got it. I took it out for you. Don't let her marry him. He's the acorn. The acorn falls not far from the tree. Mr. Hirshhorn, this is 20th century America, not 19th century Minsk. The acorn, I'm telling you. Oh, no, there's so many. There's so many. Vince.
Two
Vince.
It's just take a second.
Two Vince, but at least there. We tried. Signed, John Kennedy. You knew John Kennedy? That refers to the Bay of Pigs. You were in the Bay of Pigs? In it. It was my idea. He's proud of the fact. That's so understatedly, comically, delicately beautiful. He is proud that the Bay of Pigs was his idea. And if
you know what you're dealing with.
Genius.
When he brings that shit up, it's like, okay, so. That's a hackneyed phrase maybe for some movies, like it's a roller coaster, but it's that roller coaster that will take you like an old timey, like a rickety wooden roller coaster, wooden roller coaster that will take you through a twisty turn, like upside down. Like this roller coaster is too old to go upside down, but you do it anyway,
and you
end up somewhere.
And the little throwaways. You know, Sheldon, sometime we got to come down here when we've got a little more time. They make a chicken sandwich down here. They marinate it for 6 weeks or something, and you get it with a big, fresh squeezed orange juice. You know, a grande, a big one.
And he's just chilling. He's like, this happens sometimes. You'll get used to it.
Oh, Jesus, pigs! You know. And again, these things have crept into the family vocabulary. I mean, that's an exclamation in our family now. Oh, Jesus, pigs!
And then look at the time period where that came out. And see, this fits in the deep state. See, I have to bring this up again because the misuse of that term, because there is such a thing as a deep state. There really is. But what the deep state, and a perfect example is the Iran-Contra, is Ali North and his minions. And he was a colonel.
Yeah, but that wasn't the deep state. No.
Well,
the deep state is consists entirely of Hillary and Huma Abedin. Meanwhile, the trouble you start. I just got an email from Dan. It's a one word email in the subject line. There's no body to the email. It just says serpentine.
Yep. See, that's what got me too. When he goes back, all right, so he's like, okay, this is funny now. Like, they'll just throw in something silly right in the middle of the movie. It's, like, serious. Like, somebody can get killed.
It's zany.
Silly in.
Yeah. Or This is the, I have the best security in the world. These men once worked for JCPenney in Detroit.
This is the movie you want.
And how does Vince respond? You know, I think I bought a comb there once, General. He is the most genial human being on earth. All right, I'm being told by Steve from Georgia Stan in the chat room that I got to get out of here because it's 1 minute to the end of the program.
Well, all right. You stay out of Central America.
I am not. It's over the ocean to Scranton, Pennsylvania?
And a Learjet. Like, oh, where
do you know that Billy and Bing were so beloved that if Chiang Kai-shek had ever made it back to the mainland, they would have been the co-anchors of the evening news.
You can't get out now, Sheldon. Just sit down and relax. I mean, there's no point.
And when Billy or Bing, whichever one it is, sits back and just folds and begins browsing through a copy of Ebony. Because, of course, there's a copy of Ebony on a CIA Learjet. Little teeny tiny gems of comic perfection.
Oh, wait. And then the story, the attendant. It's a... You know what? I'm telling you, people, you need everybody, if you have little cousins or daughters or whatever, man, or kids or whatever, this is something at Thanksgiving, everybody can watch.
My father and I started laughing at that when it was first run at the movie theater, and I haven't stopped laughing yet. And now I've passed it on to my children, and they laugh. And the only people out there who deserve to be thoroughly thrashed are Albert Brooks and Michael Douglas, forever even thinking about remaking that film.
Yeah.
That was un-for-fucking-givable. But we'll leave it at that before I begin to... Because now we're a minute past. Todd, take it easy, my friend.
All right, my
keep buddy. Keep hope alive. You know, we're close to halfway done with winter. And hell, down there where you are, you'll be get out. You start stacking the pecan because you'll be barbecuing before you know it.
See you, man.
All right, later, Todd. Bye now.
Okay.
Oh God, I love the conversations I get to have on this program. I do. So it's time to get out of here. Thank you very kindly to Joy and to Sharon and to Philip from Baltimore. We've got $140 to go. No, $160 to go to finish fundraising for the evening. No, $140 to go to finish fundraising. And thanks to everybody who shares their precious finite time engaged in this little program, this little conversation. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks this evening to the midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator Steve from Georgistan, all around great guy upon his triumphant return to midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderating. Thanks to our all of our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for making sure that we've got a place for people to call home and at headon.live. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.